Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We celebrate marriage here. Amen. At least the Bible one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I want to please take your seats. If you have your Bible, will you open it to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua? I want to share with you this morning on the law of hope. Last year we looked at the world of hope. Or last week rather, we looked at the world of hope. And this week I want us to look at the law of hope. The law of hope. Joshua chapter 6, verse number 1, verse number 2. Great. The Bible says here, it says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel." This is the beginning of the exploits of the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they entered into the promised land. Word got around very quickly that these guys were up to no good, that they were a conquering army, and that they were going to come and they were going to plunder what they saw, because the Lord God, Jehovah, was with them. And so we pick up the story here. Joshua, the warlord king, or the warlord judge of Israel at the time, is going in. And how many of you know the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho? It's a very, very common story, right? It says here, "Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel." And in other words, because of the reputation of these people, no one went out and no one came in. Verse 2. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors.'" Now, we'll stop reading there for a second, and I want you to see something about how the law of hope works. If you were Joshua and you were about to invade that land, and God said to you what he said to Joshua, what would you think? Because all you could see was maybe 20, 30 foot high wall and a team of guards along that wall, gates tightly shut. We just read it in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut." You think getting into the UK is difficult? Getting into Jericho back then would have been just impossible. But God said to him something in verse number 2. He says, "See." Well, what kind of eyes would you need to be able to see what you're supposed to see? You can't see anything in the natural. You could see bricks, you could see mortar. And back then, if there was a conquering force on a territory, what they used to do, they didn't have sewage at the time, so they did what's called bucket and chuck it. Anyone done bucket and chuck it before? You know when you go camping and there's nowhere, you know, so you either dig a hole or bucket and chuck it. That's what they call it, right? Anyone been camping before? It's like, that's what they do. So, I mean, literally, that's all these guys can see, right? That's all that they're facing. So there's something that God wanted to put into the heart of Joshua that wasn't there before, that Joshua couldn't do by, if you like, the laws of natural sight. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "See." I love these things. I love that there's if you ever do a study, a Bible study on seeing, it's one of the most fantastic things you can do, because God trains us up. Jeremiah 1:12, he says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And Jeremiah saw a tree like an almond tree. And the word almond tree in Hebrew is very similar to the word of like seeing and achieving. And then God says, I see an almond tree. And God says, Jeremiah, you've seen very well, because I'm watching over my word, what? To perform it. And he said, it's like a little code there. Jeremiah, what you're seeing is what I want to give you. What you're seeing is what you'll get. What you'll see is what you get. And, you know, many times in the natural, we'll say sometimes, well, I don't believe it. I wouldn't believe that unless I saw it. Seeing is believing. And you know what? In the natural, you see, some people who are naturally minded, that's true. But also for us in the spirit, that's true. Seeing is believing. But it's not seeing with these eyes. That's the difference. That's the difference. Jesus, when he used to speak to his disciples, he said, he who has an ear, where everybody, except the guy that Peter tried to knock his head off and he ducked, and like the Bible says that Peter took his ear clean off, everyone had these things on the side of their head. So when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, he couldn't have been talking about these natural ears. He who has an ear, let him hear, right? So there's natural ears and there's also spiritual ears. There's natural eyes and there's spiritual eyes. And Jesus said that, he said, these people in the book of Matthew, he said, these people, they've become dull of hearing. They become dull of dim of seeing, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears. So in other words, they've forgotten my laws. They've forgotten about putting my word before their sight. They've forgotten about taking my word and putting it to use, that the world with their eyes closed should be bigger than the world with their eyes open. Can you say amen? This stuff is very, very powerful stuff. And if you study out what happened in the book of Joshua, I mean, God went to town on that place in Jericho. The Bible says that they marched around it seven times, and then on the final day, they marched seven times again. And the Bible says that the walls came down flat, to the extent that when they excavated Jericho, I saw the excavations there in September 93. I was there in Jericho, a phenomenal place. They were actually digging up the whole walls, not like a bunch of bricks that fell down. The Bible says the walls came down flat, that literally the wall, it looks like from what the archaeologists have dug up, that the walls sank into the ground. First ever automatic doors in history. Amazing, absolutely amazing. And the Bible records it. It says, and the walls came down flat. Not that they came down and the children of Israel had rubble to step over before they went and invaded the thing. That literally the angels of God just stood on the walls and whoosh, down they came. Wow. What put that into action? The law of hope. Powerful law. Powerful law. Powerful, powerful one. I did some study on it, and just literally, there's nothing that you can't achieve. I want to show you some more stuff here. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. You'll see Joshua in action again. After Joshua, they lost a battle because of a particular individual, and they were trying to get over what had happened. Some guy had kept some stuff that he shouldn't have kept, brought a curse on the whole of Israel. And as a result, Israel lost their belly for a fight. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you've been walking the walk and doing the thing and you've been fighting and you've been doing well, and then suddenly something comes out of the blue and just knocks you one straight in the head? That ever happened to you? And it's like you need God himself to lift you up. Hallelujah. There's something about regathering yourself. You know, the Bible talks about David at Ziklag when the place was burnt down and everything was lost and even his leaders were thinking of killing him. And he's just looking up and just saying, God, and the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Or we would say, because we are talking about the law of hope today, and David started to appropriate the law of hope on the inside of him. And from the inside of him came a picture of restoration, of hope, of resurrection, of, I don't know about you, but you know, it's in that place of hopelessness that you start to re-dig And do you know what you're doing? You're putting the law of hope to work, whether you know it or not. You know, there's laws in the universe that we're governed by them all the time. Whether you put them to work deliberately or not, we're governed by them all the time. And that's the way of the Spirit as well. There are laws of the Spirit. And the law of hope is a law of the Spirit. And that's how it comes about. The Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. In other words, I want you to see. This is what God is saying. I want you to see my word at work in your life. I want you to paint the picture on the inside of you of my word at work in your life so that it's stronger than anything that you can see on the outside. This is really how sick people can get healed. It doesn't take... And this is don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Jesus is always the healer, but it doesn't take Jesus Christ to pass by for you to touch the hem of his garment for you to be made well. It doesn't take a man of God to lay hands on you. You can put the law of hope to work, and you can see yourself healed and restored. People who have been bound by chronic sickness. Where they literally just know they need a touch from God. It's like when they close their eyes, what do you see? What do you see? I remember the testimony, you know, our book of the month at the moment is written by Kenneth Hagin. And I remember the testimony of Kenneth Hagin. He said he used to close his eyes at night and cry. He had an incurable heart disease. He would close his eyes at night and cry. And in the depth of the night, he could hear himself sleeping in a coffin. And the earth hitting the top of the coffin box as he was basically dead. He used to see himself dead. And God had to completely turn the guy around from the inside and out. Because every time he opened his Bible, he saw things like Psalm 91 that says, with long life, I'll satisfy him and fullness of days. You can't find short life in the Bible. Long life. And fullness of days, long life. And so he had to see himself walking and leaping and praising God when he couldn't even get up properly to go to the bathroom. He had to see himself changed, see himself transformed. Some of us, you know, particularly if you've been raised in poverty, this is one of the things where God had to destroy all those imaginations in me. I used to see myself sick all the time. Winter's coming. You remember Beecham's powders? Lemsip, I should have bought shares in those things, man. I mean, I swallowed more of them than you can imagine. And this is the thing, you see, you develop a picture. Oh, and they won't. It won't take long to start. I guarantee you. What's it now? It's August, right? By October, every other advert is going to be a cold and flu advert. Amen. And in America, it's worse. Every other advert, it's either a car advert, a lawyer advert for something you took before, or a tablet advert. It's unbelievable. And you know what, there's one thing that we saw while we were there, and it was like 1 minute they're advertising a particular product by this particular company, and then the very next advert is a legal company. Did you buy such and such from the company that was on a minute ago? It's like, my God, what do you do? Like, help, help. And this is the thing, you see. Here's proof that this law works, and it works for the devil and for the pharmaceutical industry. Not that that's the devil. I'm talking about, like, who it works for. But for some of them, you know, it's like they're in cahoots with the devil. But that's between them and God. But then the way it works, it will work for anyone that puts it to work. Gravity is no respecter of persons, right? And this is the problem. These laws will work for whosoever. So people are watching this thing and they're thinking, So America is the number one spender on healthcare on planet Earth. And it's number 18 in healthcare. I mean, dude, you'd have to take your socks and shoes off to count the divergence. Gentlemen, you know, like if it was a graph, how many standard deviations would that be? That's off the scale. You're number one spender as a nation on healthcare, and you're number 18 in terms of health. Something wrong. Something amiss. And this is the difficulty. You're sitting there, you're watching TV, and these adverts are coming at you. Do you have such and such and so? If so, you need soon. And then there's this other advert. Oh my gosh, American TV is hilarious. Is that may cause depression, suicidal tendencies, loss of appetite, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, I think, you know what? I won't take that medicine. I think I'm fine, actually. Do you know what I mean? Having the sickness is worth, well, who's going to want to kill himself after taking a tablet that they paid $50 for? It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But what's happened is that the law of hope has taken root in people watching this thing. And it's like, you need this. Oh, you don't need this. You have this. You can't have this. And you end up in this kind of confused, mixed up thing, right? And this is why we've got to cleanse ourselves. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4 and 5, it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says, we are destroying vain imaginations. I think that's the word they use in the King James. Vain imaginations. What is a vain imagination? A vain imagination is something that comes into your imagination that doesn't agree with the word of God for your life. So for me, poverty is a vain imagination. I can't imagine myself poor anymore. I just can't. I can see myself richer. But for me now, really, hand on heart, it's impossible for me to be poor. Really and truly, hand on heart, it's getting knit. Now, should I say it's impossible for me to be sick? Is that too much of a challenge on the devil? But I think the word of God is capable of saying amen to that particular thing. Yeah. Why not? Why not allow? Why not allow that scripture to be so strong on the inside of me? Matthew 8:17, that he bore my sicknesses and he carried my diseases. 1 Peter 2:24. You see, what are these? They're not dinky little phrases. Words are carriers of pictures. Right? If I say cathedral, you don't see the letters C-A-T-H. You see a building. Do you see what I'm saying? So words transmit pictures. And that's why God's word is called God's word. We would call it God's transmitter of pictures. I love that. So now I see a different me than I saw before. I'm not Mr. Lemsip anymore. I'm not Mr. Beecham Powders. I'm Mr. Healed. One stage further, I am Mr. Healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why not? That's where the Bible's leading us. And when you close your eyes, as long as you allow these things to take root on the inside of you, they are intensely powerful. They can pull down. How many generational strongholds has the enemy successfully put into our subconscious? Wow. Now there's something to behold. I did this exercise with some of us at the half night a couple of weeks ago, and I'd love to do it, but you have to promise me you're not going to fall asleep. Promise me now. Say, Pastor P.
Pastor P.
That's not enough of you.
Pastor P.
Pastor P. I promise you.
I won't fall asleep.
Okay, right. I want you to close your eyes. Thank God Dr. Doug's not here. He's on holiday. He would be off already. Close your eyes right now and see yourself, if you're under 70, see yourself at the age of 70, right? Now, see yourself at the age of 80, right? See yourself at the age of 90. See yourself at the age of 100. Right, now with your eyes still closed, I want to read this scripture to you. And Noah was 500 years old when he built the ark. How many of you, that has completely destroyed the picture of what you'd be at 100 if you had to do something the way Noah did? Just put up your hand. Do you see what I'm saying? Why? Because when you see yourself at that kind, now open your eyes, everybody. Nudge your neighbor. Make sure they're awake. Great. Okay. When you see yourself at that age, the age of 90 or 100, many people, they see themselves in a home and they've got like a bib, you know, like let me demonstrate here. And they're sat in a chair and they're completely deteriorated and they can't even move. And there's like dribble coming down their mouth and like they're eating mush because all their, who said, if Noah built the ark at 500 and the Bible says, and then at 600, he entered the ark with the animals. Then who said something has happened? Do you see how the devil has successfully worked? I used to have a picture of how I would look at the age of 70 or 80 because on, you know, thank God for Facebook now, your pictures of your relatives are up there. And I found one of my aunt in Ireland sitting there with my granddad and he looked like, did anyone ever watch the Beverly Hillbillies? Well, he looked like the dude from the Beverly Hillbillies and he had this hat on like that and this mustache and he was all like cockeyed and God knows what. And that was my image, if you like, of my granddad, age about, what, 78, 80 years old. And I thought, wow, you know, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Because God started to completely redo. And you know how he did it? My spiritual father is Kenneth Copeland. And a lot of people, they think, you know, oh, Copeland, blah, blah, oh, it's a controversial character. Well, if you watch YouTube, anyone's controversial. Pokemon Go is controversial on YouTube. My Little Pony is controversial on YouTube. And what you get, you know what you do? You get witches putting all that stuff up that this, that, and the other is of the devil to make Christians look stupid. You've got to watch what you believe on that nonsense. For real. Slap your neighbor. No, actually, don't. I might get sued. Okay. Only Ronke can tell you slap your neighbor because like they don't know where she lives. Hallelujah. But this is the thing I had to rewrite because I saw, I don't know if you know, like you can look up pictures of him on Google and stuff like that, but Copeland, his 80th birthday is coming in December. And he looks about 55, 56. He still carries a commercial pilot's license. And you need to have a commercial pilot's license, you need to do a medical every 6 months. And the medical examiner, the last one he shared last year, the medical examiner told him that if he hadn't personally put him through those exams himself, he would have thought he'd have cheated. He said, because you got the heart and the physique of a teenage athlete. 80 years old this December. You know what I did? Because, dude, there's something about, you know, if you call someone your spiritual father, you've got to walk in their footsteps. I went straight out and bought me a Fitbit. You know the Fitbit thing. So I'm like counting my steps and blah, blah, blah. And then I was on the front row in Maldonado's church in Miami. And like half of them had got Fitbits as well. I thought, wow, I'm on the right track here, you know. Because like if you're gonna run the race, then you've got to cut out carbs. You've got to cut out oil. There's certain things, certain sacrifices you've got to make to be able to run the race successfully. The 2 o'clock a.m. special when you get home. And this is the thing about ministry lifestyle, is very unhealthy. Very unhealthy. You come home from a meeting, 1:30 in the morning, like just ravenous appetite. And what do you reach for? The nearest thing you can get, KFC or Pizza Hut or goodness knows what. And you're just eating and it's like then sitting on you. And like half an hour later, you go to bed and it's just sat there on you. So you got to rejig your life. Now I actually enjoy salad. Dude, that's been a journey. That has really been a journey. And this is one thing. Anyone who's suffered sickness, listen to me. If you're on this road for the long haul, and you've suffered sickness and you brought near death. In fact, God told me about your situation. He said that the devil, if he can't make you sick, right? If he can't kill you through sickness, He'll try and make you feel incredibly much older so that you can feel like after you've been through some sort of sickness battle, you can end up feeling a lot older than when before you went through it. And the Bible says this. It says, he satisfies, in Psalm 103, he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle, right? He says in Isaiah 40, I think it is, verse 31, somewhere around there, he says that those who wait upon the Lord, he says, though young men will grow weary and even youths get tired, he says, yet those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. You see, these aren't, we've turned them into dinky little cliches. But they're words, they are words of richness that should dwell in us, that when we close our eyes, we see ourselves waiting on the Lord. We see our strength renewed. You know what? I can go through that punishment in the gym from junior. And I can do it. I can give him what he demands. It's not going to hurt me. It took me 15 months of going to the gym before I realized that I wasn't going to drop dead of a cardiac arrest in the gym. That's the God's honest truth. Because why? You see, gravity is fighting you. The TV is fighting you. The ads for Tylenol and retirement homes. Dude, I ain't going to retire. My God, what on earth is that? No way. No way. And I thought, you know what? The generations that could have got hold of this. I got saved in 1984. That would have meant that if Smith Wigglesworth had gotten hold of this revelation of with long life, he'll satisfy you in fullness of days. Because Genesis 6:3 says, he says, my soul, this is God talking in the days of Noah. And the Bible says, in the last days, it shall be like the days of who? Noah. So this scripture's for us. God says, he says, my soul won't strive with man forever. Genesis 6:3, if you can find it there, Benji, is he still on the computer there? I'm very proud of him today. Can you clap for that boy? He's like, he's learning all sorts of techno babble. Then the Lord said, look at this. My spirit shall not strive with man forever because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. That's what God said in the days of Noah. And then Jesus said, when in the last days, how many of you believe this is the last days? I don't know a Christian who doesn't. Even if it isn't, it's at least the last of the last days that when Jesus said it, it's more last than it was, if you see what I'm saying. So either way, it's the last days. Jesus said, it shall be as in the days of Noah. I thought to myself, wow, I could have heard. I got saved in 1984. Wigglesworth died in 47. If he'd gotten hold of this revelation, I could have sat under Wigglesworth's ministry. Wouldn't that be something? Five people recorded, raised from the dead. In Great Britain, in Yorkshire. Think of the people that's gone to be with the Lord. Dad Hagin, who's gone to be with the Lord. And I only sat under his ministry once. He prayed for me, laid hands on my head. And my head, I felt like my face glowed for 2 days. That's the God's honest truth. Killeen, Texas, 1994, September. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I think we need to set the marker out there. I think we can put the law of hope to work that at the age of, like I said, when Ewan and Jennifer were there, because Ewan plays a lot of squash, that he can still be playing squash at the age of 100 and beating guys half his age. And you imagine the guys round about. You see, this is one of the things that God uses. People can't see, the natural man can't see the glory of God, right? But they can see the benefits of the glory of God. So in scripture, there's a connection between the glory of God and financial wealth. But there's all, and this is what the guys around about have seen. They said that the Indian guys, the Hindu fellas, now these are guys that will sacrifice to their gods all day long. Very, very devout, very religious people, just, you know, misguided. The Bible talks about idolatry, not being from God, etc., right? And that one of the guys, the Hindu guys across the way, he said, I don't know what you're teaching those people in there. He said, but when you first moved in here, He said, you were driving bashed up cars. Your clothes were all kind of, you know, and we thought, oh, no, here's a bunch of poor people. He said, now, he says, I look in, I can't do the Indian accent very well, but he said, I look in the car, but he says, there's a Bentley, a BMW. What are you doing in there? And I says, well, I said, we're teaching them the word of God. I said, and prosperity is part of what we teach. But I think, you know, long life needs to be part of what we teach as well. Psalm 91. With long life, he says, he shall satisfy you and fullness of days. So if we set our marker out at 120 years, and this is what God has done to me, I pray he does the same thing with you. If you set the marker out like that at 120 years, God then starts to work backwards from that. You know, the Bible says he declares the end from what? The beginning, right? So he declares, So he sees our desire to go to the full 120. He says, well, sunshine, if you want to do the whole 120, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to lose weight. You're going to have to do some cardio work. You're going to have to declare the blessing of God over your blood pressure, over your cholesterol. You're going to have to eat more fish. You're going to have to eat more salads. You're going to have to cut out palm oil. And hey. Have you ever seen that stuff? You just put it in the fridge for half an hour. Now, you imagine your bloodstream on a cold day and there's palm oil pumping through it. Heaven help you. Heaven help you. That stuff is just one up from crude oil. Am I telling you? It's very nice. It's very nice. And it's in a lot of foods, but it's one up from Brent crude, man. One up from West Texas. That's just the way it is. Light, sweet, crude palm oil. Now, this is what God said to me. Maybe your body can take palm oil. I don't know, right? That's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying what God said to me. I'm not going to put you under some bondage or anything like that. Do you understand? And also, stuff that's going to be good for me. Eating at the right time. You know, eating like a king, not like a pig. But this is the thing. What am I doing? I'm setting the stage in that unseen world, in the world of hope. I'm putting the law of hope to work. And who knows? You see, even if, right, here's the caveat. Even if I don't get, say, I don't know, if my original planned life was going to be 80 years before I caught this revelation, even if I only get halfway, that's 100. Right? And that becomes then a marker for the next generation. And then the next generation can fight on. And I'll close by saying this. Your physical body is your license to operate in the earth. Right? When you lose your physical body, you no longer have a license to operate in the seen touch. You can't go down to the Emirates. Oh, Jesus, help me. Why did I mention Arsenal Football Club? You can't go down and enjoy. You can't go down to the beach and like, you know, play with your children and grandchildren and great grandchildren or whatever, because your physical body is your license to be in the earth, right? So God needs, for this generation, for this end time harvest generation, God needs us to be around. He needs us to be well. He needs us to be fit. He needs us to be active so that we're a good, credible witness to the generations to come. So we have to look after our license. You know, if you misbehave on the road, you lose your license. So likewise, in our physical bodies, we've got to behave well. We've got to eat well. Coca-Cola is a NOLA. Where's Temi Tayo? Is he here? He stopped drinking Coke. Oh, there's Kumba at the back. Junior, thank God for our cameraman, Junior. He ate Temi Tayo one time. Temi Tayo came in wanting to be all fit and everything like that. And for some reason, there's some people, they have the physique and it's like a football. It's like they've got a football down their jumper, you know? And anyway, Junior just ate him because he brought a bottle of Coke. to a fitness thing. 2 liter bottle. I think that's the last one he ever drank. Thank God. Now, where does God want to speak to you? Stand to your feet. We're going to thank God for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you for the laws of hope. We thank you for the picture, as your word says in the book of Hebrews, that enters within the veil, a both sure and steadfast thing. That Lord God, a man who hopes doesn't hope for what he sees because he already has it. But we hope for what we don't see, Lord God. We thank you for salvation in our lives. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which takes us from glory to glory and from strength to strength and from faith to faith. We thank you for that saving blood, Lord God. We thank you for that healing sacrifice, Lord, that brought about our healing on the cross. That really sickness in any form isn't our portion. And we thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see our way through. If there's any congenital diseases, any debilitating diseases, any revisiting diseases, Lord God, help us, Lord, to paint the picture of those things gone forever. That we see ourselves well. We see ourselves walking and leaping and praising God. We see ourselves enjoying long life and fullness of days. We see ourselves carrying the right physical weight, not putting pressure on our hearts and on our joints and on our livers and on things like that, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we see ourselves at our optimal level of fitness, Lord. We press on for that prize, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We put the law of hope to work that we can live long, preach, and finish strong, Heavenly Father, that we will be a harvest generation, Lord God. Thank you for it, wonderful God. We give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.